News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, today, filling in once again for Meg. Joining me for this half hour is attorney Terrence Gross from Gross & Schuster. He is actually joining us by phone today. I'm guessing that the office is quite busy right now, huh, Terrence?
Well, we try to stay busy. And anyway, we are a local personal injury law firm. And most of you know I've been a lawyer for 46 years. I've spent the whole time in Pensacola. But anyway, so I'm here to talk about it. I always come with a subject. And my subject today is bigger better? Is bigger better? And what I like to think about sometimes is what I call the Peter Principle. So imagine you are a great brick mason and you build one house at a time. You do a fantastic job. Everybody wants your services. And then now you're building two houses and then three houses. And finally, you're working on 10 houses at a time. Are you still able to do 100%? The answer is no, because we all can get overloaded with too much on our plate. We've all had that experience, and that relates to our personal lives, and it also relates to the practice of law. Imagine this. Imagine that it's your 20th anniversary, and you tell your wife, honey, I am taking you out to dinner for our anniversary. And she gets all dressed up and she's ready to go. This is going to be great. And all of a sudden, you pull up to the Golden Arches. And she goes, WTF? What? And you say, well, this is the biggest restaurant in America. I want to take you to the biggest McDonald's for our anniversary. I don't think that would go too well. I think she was hoping that you would take her to Global, to the Grand Marlin, to Iron, to Jackson's, to Union Public, or one of our better restaurants in town. And all of a sudden, you're at the biggest restaurant. But is McDonald's the best meal you can have in town? I don't think so. They're the biggest. They've served billions and billions of hamburgers. They've got thousands of locations all over America. But does that make their product the best? So this whole bigger is better thing, I'm kind of, you know, just pushing back on that. So our law firm, we have four lawyers, me and my three sons. Some firms advertise that they got 60,000 lawyers throughout America. Even if you go to Pensacola, I don't know how many lawyers some of these firms have, but one particular firm, I know this for a fact, that in our law firm, each lawyer handles usually, it depends because there's an ebb and flow of cases, but no less than 60, no more than 75 cases at a time. That's our design. That's our format. We want to know our clients. We want to know about their personal lives. How have these injuries from the accident affected the lives? Are they no longer able to coach Little League baseball? Are they no longer to be a triathlete? Is it hard to sit? Is it hard to stand? What is it about their lives that's been turned upside down? We know this because we talk to this. We follow the cases. With some of these bigger law firms and the ones advertising that they're the biggest, word of the street is that each lawyer has 350 clients per lawyer, 350 versus 65. Which scenario is going to give more personal attention? That's my question. So this whole bigger is better mass production, I don't subscribe to, and just pushing back. Our law firm doesn't have millions and millions of dollars to advertise with billboards and TV ads. And of course, this is my opinion. This is not the opinion of this radio station. It's my personal opinion, just to practicing law. And the most of our clients come to us, really, we still have the traditional word of mouth. Now, in the new age, of course, there's Google. In this day and age, word of mouth is great for checking out a lawyer or knowing a lawyer. That's always good because we're in the community. There many people know us and so forth. But also look at the reviews, because most of the reviews, I presume, at least with us, are from our former clients. They're real reviews of people that have used us. And look at the ratings of not just our law firm, but some of the smaller local law firms, and you'll see their ratings are pretty high. Ours are 5.0 across the board, where some of these big advertisers, there could be a 4.2, 4.5, 4.6, whatever. But look at the reviews. Don't just look at the number 4.6 versus 5.0. Look what they're saying. Look what they're saying about us, and maybe look at the experience of the others. So I've actually had people come, and this has happened quite a lot in the past several years, where they've gone to one of these bigger so-called law firms, and maybe they've used this law firm for a year and gotten frustrated, and then all of a sudden they want to come to me to say, will you look at this case? Will you take over this case? And a lot of times I'll meet with these people. A lot of times I encourage them to stay with their same lawyer, but if they're insistent, we will talk to them. And so, a lot of times I'll ask, I'm a curious fellow, well, who's your lawyer? Because that makes a difference to me. Because if you've got a really good, top-notch lawyer, a lot of times I tell people, go back to your lawyer. If you think there's a communication problem, go back to that lawyer. Talk to that lawyer and try to work things out. Maybe his staff dropped the ball and maybe you're in good hands and you shouldn't switch ships in the middle of the ocean. But sometimes the people will tell me, I don't know who my lawyer is. I said, wait a second. You signed this law firm up over a year, and you don't even know the name of your lawyer? No. Have you met a lawyer? No, I've never even talked to her. They've been your law firm for a year, and you've never talked to a lawyer. No, sir, I haven't. I talked to Miss Susie, I guess the paralegal. And she's the one that I talked to and so forth. So I guess there's different models, and I'll give you a even more insight. So about 2 years ago, one of our paralegals left. And, of course, we started interviewing to fill that position. And we put the word out on the street like we usually do, and usually get quite a few. And it's not uncommon to get existing paralegals from other law firms that, for whatever reasons, are dissatisfied with their current jobs. Maybe they don't like it. Maybe they feel they're not getting enough pay or whatever it is. But all of a sudden, three different paralegals from the same big law firm made appointments to talk to me about the new position at our office. And I remember talking to the first one. And so I said, I guess you're a paralegal. And she kind of got a little indignant with me. And she goes, no, I'm a case manager. And I guess that's just not a term I've ever used before. I mean, I've had legal secretaries and I've had paralegals, but I've never called anybody a case manager. So as dumb as I was, I go, well, what's a case manager? Well, what do you do? She says, well, I open up the files. I meet with the clients. We sign them on. They report back to me. I write for records. And when the time's right, we make a demand to the insurance company to try to settle the case. I was agape. I mean, I was going, what? I didn't say a word to the person. And then I met the second one, same story. And how many files do you have? 350. All three said the same thing. And I was in shock. And the reason I was in shock was what I call a paralegal, what they called a case manager, what they were doing is what I do. I mean, that's exactly, as a lawyer, I meet with the client. I mean, when they first come in, they may talk to a paralegal over the phone for the initial intake. We have an intake department. They take some basic information, emails and birth dates, but then they meet with one of the lawyers face-to-face. We'd like to meet them face-to-face and then make a decision then whether to sign them up. Is it worth their interest, our interest, and whatever, and meet with them, get to know the case, get to know the person, and then I follow their treatment. And if MRIs are ordered, for instance, and they come back with herniated disc and extrusions, then I like to contact the client and say, you know what, I know you're just seeing the chiropractor, but with this MRI, I think you need to think about a medical doctor at this point, maybe have some consultation with a spinal surgeon of your choice or a pain doctor of your choice. But I think there's more going on than just some little soft tissue case. So we kind of give them advice all along. We let them know how much coverage there is. It's very important to find out what the coverage is early, because you can't just treat every case like a cookie cutter type of case on a conveyor belt. You have to, you know, if it's a low limit case, then you got to move in pretty quickly before the bills get a hand. Because if you let the bills balloon up on a low limit case, yeah, you can settle for policy limits and get every penny there is, but then the client gets little to nothing. So it's not rocket science, but as a lawyer, I think I'm better trained than a paralegal. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the best lawyer in town or whatever. I think I'm good. I think pretty highly of myself, but I'm certainly can outmatch a paralegal. And also there's different decisions. Many of these decisions, smaller decisions that you make early on, could affect what happens in the courtroom. And I'm always thinking about that, because not all cases settle. Some have to be litigated and some are in the courtroom, and little do's and don'ts throughout the case can make a world of difference. Early in the cases, if we think there's contested liability, the lawyers, we don't even use investigators for the most part. We go to the scenes of the accidents ourselves, and it's very common for me to go and just get the lay of the land. Sometimes you see incidental surveillance, and you write for that, and you get video recordings from a bank, from a junior food store, from a storage facility that shows the accident right there. And if you don't move quickly, these tapes get retaped. They get, you lose that evidence because it's a continuous tape. It's not like they get a cassette, pull it out, get a cassette, pull it out. It's just one reel. And if, you know, sometimes it's 10 days, it can be 14 days, but you got to move quickly. And we do that. We get downloads of the vehicles as to what the speeds was, what were they braking, and you get all kinds of information if you need it. But if that car is totaled and then it's destroyed after from the wreck yard, well, then that evidence is gone. So we just try to do things early on. Sometimes I push for MRIs early on. I may even call a doctor and go, look, this, my client's complaining that their hand's going to sleep. There's numbness. They can't close their hand. Why haven't you ordered an MRI? I'm going to be, you know, and they get mad at me maybe, but it's part of my job. I'm supposed to be the overseer of my client's case. And by and large, a lot of these MRIs confirm exactly what I suspected, that there is a cause for this ridiculous pain, a herniated disc and nerve root impingement that was there. But anyway, there's just a lot more to it than meets the eye. You just don't get a case, they sign you on, and you put it in a drawer, and a year later you pull it out and try to settle. That's how not to practice law. So I just say, I was just flabbergasted that according to these people we talked to, 350 cases that a paralegal is responsible for, with the lawyer, I guess, overseeing it. But with us, you know, we're sitting around 65 cases with the lawyer hands on. Of course, we got paralegals, and our paralegals assist us as well. And when it gets to the demand package, that's something personal to me. I know some people like chocolate ice cream and some like vanilla, and you could debate that all day long. But when it comes to demand packages, this is when you're trying to settle with the insurance company and the lawyer or whoever prepares this package, this cover letter outlining the case to convince the insurance company that they need to pay XYZ. I, once again, being egotistical, think that should be me doing that demand letter. Now, I know there's some lawyers that let their paralegals do the demand letters, but I get to know the clients. I know the law. I know what I want to say. And I don't delegate. That's something I've never, ever delegated. I think that's the essence. I'm going to give my best argument like I'm giving an argument to a jury, except it's going to the insurance company. And I'm kind of succinct. I had a law partner once that would write these 8-page demand letters and all that. And insurance companies are not going to pull out a handkerchief and wipe a tear from their eye at the end of some narrative. But we write a very comprehensive thing, really going over the diagnostics, really going over lost wages, going over medical bills. But also, I'm a big believer, not just in pain and suffering. I'm a real big believer. It's a jury instruction. And it's called loss of capacity to enjoy one's life. And to me, that is big because I know that I enjoy many, many things. So I had a guy with a dog bite of his dominant hand, and he could no longer play golf. That was a big issue. He didn't have future medical bills. And the insurance company had to sue because the insurance company says, well, the doctor's released, so there's no future medical bills. Why do you want so much money? I said, because this guy was a golfer. And not only is it a sport, it's the camaraderie. You meet the same group every Friday. You play. Then you go to the clubhouse. You have a beer or two, tell stories. And now he's not part of that group anymore. I mean, that's a big hole in his life. So it's not just hitting the little white ball around some green area. It's the whole experience. And some people are into windsurfing. Some people want to coach Little League. Some people are in bowling leagues. Some people enjoy aerobics, whatever it is. But if you can no longer do that, if you can no longer jog, if you no longer ride a bike the way you were doing, if you've gained a lot of weight after you've always kept fit all your life and you just can't do it, those are big damages to me. And I think you should be compensated, especially if someone negligently maybe rear-ended you at a red light, which is happens all too often. So I think I end up knowing these people, and it makes it easier for me to prepare this demand package and argue this case because it's the same argument. I let them know, you know, if you don't want to pay now, you're going to pay later because the jury's going to hear this. And I think a jury's going to react to this testimony and so forth. So it's just something that I never, ever delegate. I draft each and every demand letter myself and always have. And I think most top-notch lawyers should be doing that. That's just my opinion. People may not agree. Lawyers may not agree with that. I think at some point, if I'm representing this person as me representing them, that's just something you just don't delegate. Like, it's like a doctor. You can have a nurse assisting you in surgery, but I don't think you're going to let your nurse start to open up somebody's spine and do all the sutures and stuff. I think they're better to assist the doctor, but the surgeon's responsible for the surgery. And I think the lawyer should be responsible for the litigation of the case. So getting back to this bigger, I just disagree wholeheartedly when I hear these ads and see the billboards, bigger is better, bigger is better, bigger, and all this braggadocious stuff about 60,000 lawyers and whatever, almost telling the public, we're better. We're better than these other guys. We're so big. We have to be better, and I would just wholeheartedly disagree. I believe in old-fashioned, hands-on, representing people. They get to know the lawyer. The lawyer gets to know them, and it's a relationship, really. And I think I've had people marvel. I've actually had other lawyers come up to me and say, "Gross, how are you? How do you have a practice? You don't have any billboards. You don't have any TV ads. How do you get clients in the door?" And yes, I do radio shows like this, but the audiences are relatively small. Let's be honest. I mean, there's people listening now. So probably relatively small audience of people that listen to radio. But it's a PSA. It's a way to, for me, and I've always been on the radio, but really I rely more on the old-fashioned word of mouth, past clients. I got a lot of past clients after 46 years. And now with Google, that's the new word of mouth and the reviews. And, I think that's how people are reading the reviews. I mean, if I went to a strange town and I wanted to go to the best restaurant, I would not only Google, but I would skip the paid ads because you can see which ones are paid for privacy and go right to the ones that are there organically and then read their reviews from real people. And they talk about service, they talk about food, they talk about whatever, and that's the one I'm going to select. And I think people, I mean, when you pick a lawyer, it's like picking a doctor for surgery. I mean, I think most people just don't pick any doctor for surgery. Well, most people only have one personal injury case, if that, in their lifetime. And whoever they pick makes a difference. And you want someone that specializes in this area, but also cares and is going to put the time and effort and concentrate on your individual case and not treat your case as part of a conveyor belt. And looks like we're out of time. This is Terrence Gross. If you wish to call me, 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com. Thank you.
All right, Attorney Terrence Gross from Gross and Schuster, we appreciate you being on the show today. They do have 5-star reviews on Google. One of the best attorneys in Pensacola. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The news is up next.